Hello, my name is Dario Balca, student coordinator for the Peter A. Allard School of Law History Project. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge that UBC's Vancouver Point Grey campus is situated on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. For those listening to this recording outside of this area, I would also like to acknowledge the traditional owners and caretakers of those lands. Jeff Lowe, QC, graduated from the law school in 1982. In 1995, he became the managing partner of Richards Buell Sutton at the age of just 33, and he continues to hold that position today. It's June 29th, 2020, and Jeff joins me today to reflect on his journey in the law, starting from his earliest days at UBC.
So Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time to do this today.
Well, I'm happy to be part of this. Thank you.
I wanted to start by asking you a bit about your life before law school, and I was hoping you can tell me about what inspired you to pursue your career in law.
Well, actually, my father was an academic, and so working on my undergrad, I really originally thought I was probably going to follow my dad's footsteps and pursue something more in the academic world. But I became aware, he was vice president of a college, I became aware, to be honest, the job market was not great. And I had always been interested in legal things, and I thought, well, I'm not sure the academia is going to be the right route for me at this point. So I thought, well, I will consider law. So basically, it was kind of one or the other, and the job market kind of nudged me in the direction of go to law school. So that's ultimately what I did.
Yeah, and you mentioned your undergraduate degree in that answer, and I know you went to Simon Fraser University, majoring in sociology and anthropology. When you decided to go to law school, what kept you on the West Coast, and why did you choose UBC at that time?
Right. Well, again, some fairly practical reasons, to be honest. Well, first of all, obviously the West Coast is a very beautiful place, but I actually got married 2 weeks before I started first year law school. And my wife was a teacher, and we knew we were going to be getting married. So I actually only applied to UBC and UVic. You know, I was accepted at both of them, but UBC had such a great reputation. My dad had gone to university at UBC, not in law, but at UBC. So I thought I would take the UBC option. But really, again, fairly practical purposes, I put down some roots fairly young by getting married at that age, and it was important because my wife already had the job, so we decided, no, let's just stay here, go to UBC, it's a great school, and carry on.
That seems like a good reason to me.
Yeah.
I know it was a little while ago, but can you tell me maybe about what your first impressions were of the school were when you started?
Absolutely. So showing up at law school, I was, I don't know if overwhelmed was the right feeling that I recall, but it just seemed so different having come from, as you're finishing off an undergrad degree, you're in the upper levels, you're in very small study groups, you're writing long papers, and suddenly I got to law school, and it was this very large group of people, all who had done very well at school to get into law school. But the part that was I found odd was that just we're all in this one program. Everybody was taking the same identical courses. Everybody had done well. And it just was such a transition from where and what I'd been doing in my undergrad. Because to be honest, I was in a way kind of gearing up to go to grad school. So you're in a lot of self-study groups and extended papers and all those kind of things. It's quite a transition, actually, where suddenly you showed up and it was almost like being back in grade school or something. Everybody's organized and everybody's taking the same classes. But the difference was everybody had done really well to get there. So you had just, whereas you'd probably, most of us had the experience of doing very, very well in our undergrad, law school, the whole school was filled with people that had done very, very well in their undergrad.
No, it's true. Yeah, I think you're right. A lot of us joke about it being kind of like high school again. We're all in this one building together, and yeah.
Yeah, and it's very regimented, and there was the four sections when I went to school, and you rotated through your, everybody had five basic classes, and yeah, it was quite structured, but it was also, of course, very exciting because, showing up, I don't know. The first day of law school, I think, is one of the big events in your life. And I to be honest, I'm talking to the dean this September, I think, you know, some of the first year students are really going to miss an experience that many of us remember for the rest of, you know, this to this point in my life, for sure.
Law school, I mean, I think for many people is a pretty meaningful time in their lives, pretty eye-opening and then taxing yet rewarding. Do you have any lasting memories of experiences or people that you met in law school that you can share with me?
Yeah, you know, even in the first week of law school, I met people who are still my friends to this day, 30-something years later. And I think that it was one of those situations where we were all trying to understand what was happening. Probably many of us were a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious about how we were going to fare, how we were going to do. And, you know, I think just, as I say, I have friends to this day that I met literally in that first week of law school. The other thing for me that was personally very nice is I actually was reunited with a fellow who was my grade 8 locker partner. We connected back up again in law school, and he's probably to this day my closest friend. He went on to become a managing partner of a downtown law firm. So I have some very fond memories of the relationships I've built, and I think too, you know, as was the case, and I'm not sure how prevalent it still is, but you know, we were forming these small study groups to help each other through in various subjects, and just again those relationships and that collegiality of going through a new experience that, you know, I remember the first exam period of first year law. I think we all felt quite a bit of pressure. And I think we drew a lot of comfort from going through that with a close circle of people that we, and in my case, my study group, I didn't know any of them before law school. And so I don't know, that still, still is quite a lasting impression for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those little study groups are still very common, I can confirm. I've talked to some people as part of this project who the path they took in their careers was really triggered by a course that they took or a faculty member that they made a connection with. Was there an experience like that at law school that kind of said to you, this is more of the path that I want to take in law?
I think there's a couple that jump out at me. I had some very good teachers, but you know, I think the one of my experiences, and I guess I count myself pretty fortunate, but Madam Justice McLaughlin, who obviously ended up in the Supreme Court of Canada, she taught me evidence. She got appointed to the bench during the term she was teaching me evidence. And she was obviously an amazing person, an accomplished person. You knew that there was going to be greatness in her future. And when I look back and see how she measured up with a jurist in Canada and the history of Canadian legal scholars, to have the ability to have her teach me something like evidence was really something. I also had another professor who I think was just an adjunct professor who taught me construction law, a guy named Professor Yonke, and he was out doing a lot of business things, and he was just a really fascinating guy, and I saw the way you could blend business and legal concepts with the way he presented everything. So those are the two experiences I think that jump out at me when I think back.
A lot of your career has focused on, centered around business law. Can you tell me what drew you to that field and what's kept you interested in it over the years?
Sure. It's interesting because I've been very lucky in my career. My principal was a guy named Brian Joyce, who was the gold medalist, ultimately went to the Supreme Court. But I actually started in litigation, and I juniored a guy named George Cumming, who went to the Supreme Court and then finished his career in the Court of Appeal. And so for the first 2 years I did litigation. And again, very lucky to rub shoulders with these people. And then when George Cumming went to the bench, Peter Richards, who was the senior guy in the firm, who was a corporate solicitor, he came to me and and said, listen, George is going to the bench. I would like you to switch from being a litigator and become a solicitor and start working with me. And he was a very active in the business community, very active, the corporate side, transactional side. So I didn't start in business. I actually started with some very talented and bright people on the litigation side. And I only was convinced to switch to the business side once one of my mentors went to the bench. And so then I started with Peter. And again, I saw what he had done. And I saw, again, how he became familiar with the business world. And yeah, it just intrigued me. And from that point, so it wasn't as though I came out in law and started from day one doing business. There really was quite a shift 2 years in.
And what about, you've been doing that kind of work for quite a while now. What about that type of work really interests you, or do you find rewarding?
Again, I've just always been fascinated by the business world and trying to help people achieve what their objectives are. The one piece of it that I did not like on the litigation side was there was a lot of delays and there was a lot of pauses in what you're trying to do. And there's a lot of procedural wrangling, whereas business, you usually try and figure out what you're trying to achieve and you go for it. And you know, you get some interesting entrepreneurs and risk takers in the business world. And, you know, I just found it fascinating to watch them, what they're trying to do, and see if there's a way we could help them do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think pacing is definitely a thing to think about when you're choosing what area you want to practice in.
So I think it's no secret that substantively lawyers learn more about the law in practice than they do at school, especially over the course of a long career. I wonder if there's anything that you learned in law school that you've carried with you throughout your time as a lawyer, or that's informed the way that you've approached your practice.
Yeah, there was something I think very important. I think the one thing that law school teaches you, or you should, hopefully you can try and hone the skill, is that you try to determine what's important and what's not important. What are the true legal issues and what are kind of the red herrings that don't really matter? And it probably is a little more of a linear thinking process that I came into law school with. And if you can train your mind to try and dissect either a problem or a transaction or whatever it is and take it in a way that can be analyzed. So I think that where people have trouble in the legal business is they can't discern the difference between that which is important and meaningful and that which is really just a distraction and unrelated. It still may be an issue, but probably unrelated to the central issue, the core issue you're trying to deal with. So as I say, I would say overall, that is the biggest tool that I took away from, because at the end of the day, law school is not, obviously you come away with substantive knowledge, but you have to replace that so many times over once you're out in the legal business. It really has to do with a methodology, how you approach an issue or a problem or a situation, so that you can take that tool, that methodology, and apply it to any situation, even if you're unfamiliar, even if you have to learn the substantive law around that area. As I say, that has served me very, very well. And I mean, in some ways you learn it the hard way. When you write your first year law exams, you realize after the fact, oh yeah, I just got off track, or I was writing about kind of, you know, secondary or third issues where I should have focused on the central matter. So anyway, it's been very helpful for me.
I think in my time at this, with this project, you're the first managing partner of a firm that I've had the chance to speak to. Can you tell me a bit about how you ended up in that role and maybe how it differs from that of what other partners or other lawyers at firms are doing?
Right. It is quite a different role. It probably takes at least half of my time. So my job is in effect to run the business of our law firm. And I do that with the help of a management committee, which has three other partners on it that we'll meet periodically. I do that with the help of managers who are non-lawyers. So we have a head of human resources, we have a head of IT, we have a head of accounting, we have a marketing, and we have a an administrator. So they all report to me. My job is, as I say, to run the business of the firm. So I'm responsible to the partners. Obviously, you know, I have to look after the partners, the associates, and the staff. How it happened, actually, is when I became a partner, they put me on the management committee the day I became a partner. And I did that about a year, but at the time they were taking, I thought the approach they were taking wasn't exactly the approach I would take. So after a year, I respectfully thanked them for the opportunity, but thought I would not continue on with management. One of the senior partners came to me and said, we don't want you to resign from the management committee. We actually want you to become managing partner. I was 33 years old at the time, which was a bit of a surprise. Anyway, I agreed to do it. And as crazy as it sounds, I have been managing partner ever since that time. I did take a year and a half leave of absence in the late 90s to go run three companies for one of my clients, but then I came back. But overall, my job is to run the business of the firm, but most importantly, the most important thing I can do as a managing partner is to make sure I give people the tools to succeed and the opportunities that, you know, they deserve and should be presented to them to let them succeed. So yeah, I just try and make sure people, you know, there aren't impediments for them to grow their careers and grow their knowledge base. And then in addition, obviously, there's a lot of mundane things, overseeing accounting and IT and HR and marketing programs and things like that. But overall, it takes about 50% of my time.
RBS has a longstanding relationship with the Allard School of Law and UBC more generally. I wanted to talk a bit about some of that. Last year, the firm donated $250,000 very generously to the School of Law's Business Law Clinic. And I was wondering if you could tell me about how you think students are benefiting from being part of this clinic and why it was important for the firm to be involved and to make this contribution.
Yeah, we're very pleased to have the opportunity to do this. You know, we understand that, you know, experiential learning is becoming a bigger part of the legal process, and certainly when I was at law school. And, you know, I just, it ties into a little bit of what I was saying a few moments ago about experience. I mean, it, you know, when you have a chance to work with small businesses and people, it'll give students some practical experience whereby they may know what the legal answer is, but they still have to implement that in a way that's practical and possible. And I think that the practice of law, you know, there's a few components to it. One is to come up with obviously the right legal answer, the right legal advice, but it has to fit into a lot of practical constraints. There are personalities involved. There's financial considerations involved. There's timing issues involved. And I think to start at that earliest stage in your professional development in law school, we just, you know, we think it's a great idea.
Like I mentioned, RBS and the law school and UBC more generally have quite a long history of working together. For example, the firm also donated $1 million towards the construction of the new law building. I wonder if you could elaborate a little bit on the history between the firm and the school.
RBS has a really deep relationship with UBC. So our firm, which is the oldest firm in BC, we drafted the legislation that created UBC 112 years ago and have acted for them ever since. So they are our firm's biggest client. It's to the point where we view them as, I guess we would describe them as partners, as opposed to just a typical client relationship. We participate in at educational levels with their in-house lawyers at the general counsel's office at UBC. We obviously do a lot of legal work for UBC. We've tried to give back through financial contributions to the law school and other ways and other programs. So it's just, it's been, as they say, a very close relationship. And we continue to try and build that relationship. And we feel very proud that we played a little bit of a role in the history of UBC. It's something we talk a lot about in our firm. We're very proud of having such a great client. And yeah, it's really a kind of a multi-level relationship. And yeah, so we were very pleased to be able to do it. For a firm of our size, that $1 million gift was quite a meaningful gift. So it's, as I say, we continue to try and build a relationship with UBC, and it goes back over a century at this point.
Lawyers are frequently seen as people who are leaders in their community, and I think you certainly fit into that description. You've been vice chair of the Board of Governors at Langara College, you volunteered with the Greater Vancouver Food Bank, and you've helped establish educational foundations like the Vancouver College Millennium Foundation. I want to ask you about why you feel like it's important to be active in these ways, in addition to practicing law or to managing the firm.
You know, I think when you look around, whether it's any professional or you look at any firm, when you look at why they've been successful or who they are or how they've gotten there, they've all had some help, some assistance along the way, some support. I know in my career, as I've described to you, I've been a very lucky guy with some great mentors over the years. In the role I am as a managing partner, I can kind of influence things a bit at the firm. And whether it's for myself or the firm, it really comes back to trying to give back something to the community that's been able to, you know, allow us to be as successful as we have been. You know, as I say, these initiatives are really just about giving back. And, you know, I think if you look, we all need a little help at some point in our life. And if we find ourselves in a position where we can give back, either because we've got knowledge or time or experience through things like board positions or creating new structures that help people, or whether we're fortunate enough to be in a position to help financially, I just think it's important that, you know, it can't all be a one-way street. But when this city has been and this province has been as good to us as it has, you know, we want to try and take some meaningful, tangible steps to give back.
You've spoken a lot about the importance of mentorship during this interview, and most certainly even as a student, I mean, part of what you're trying to do is learn the law and do well in your courses and all that. But
I think some of the most valuable experiences that you can have also come from talking to those who've navigated this journey with some success. And so I wonder what advice you'd give to law students who are now trying to find their own way, especially those who are interested in the area of business law specifically.
I think that even with a keen interest and top students, the one piece that I think students could do in advance is just get curious about the business community. You know, as simple as it sounds, but read the business papers, read the financial papers, understand how financial markets work, understand what's going on out there, because you need to ultimately understand what your clients, who are business owners or business managers, what they're facing. And I think there are times when students, even if they're keen to get involved in business law and they've done well at school, if they don't know anything about business per se, it's very difficult to engage with a client in a meaningful way. Ultimately, you want to know what your client's facing, what they're feeling. And as I say, I think just get curious, just read, whether it's, you know, the business papers, financial papers. It's really just to try and get a sense of what drives the business world. What are the banks doing? What are the insurance companies doing? Are there problems in the labor market? Are there problems hiring people? What are government programs going on? Just get a general sense. And if you can get this far, you know, learn how to read a financial statement. So, because that's going to be critical. If you can understand what a financial statement looks like, you're going to have a huge leg up. And there's lots of self-study courses that you can do to do that. It doesn't have to be in-depth. No one wants you to be an accountant. But if you understand the difference, you know, between a balance sheet or whatever you happen to be looking at, you can talk the talk of a business owner or a business manager, and you're just going to be so far up than someone who's just trying to give a technical legal answer with no context.
Is there anything exciting coming up in your future or the firm's future or the firm's relationship to the school that you'd like to share?
I have to say that all energy, all focus has been pivoted to try and survive this pandemic. Projects that we've had so many events we've had to cancel or postpone. We've had so many activities we've had to cancel or postpone. So much international travel to conferences we've had to cancel or postpone. So we are really in an unprecedented time. And we really, as I say, my management team, my management committee, we have done nothing but pivot and try to make sure, first and foremost, our team stays safe. We're still trying to understand how long this may go on. We're trying to understand what the long-term consequences could be. We don't know what the effects on the legal profession are going to be. We don't know what the effects on our clients are going to be. We don't know what the effect even our law students. I mean, we've been going through a process. We have just brought on both summer students and article students virtually remotely, which we've never dreamt about trying to do that before. So we're you know, as long as I've been managing the firm, I thought I'd seen most of it, but I have no playbook for this. So we're trying to adapt. And, you know, at some point we'll look back on this and do an analysis, whether there's things we would have done differently or better. But as I say, for now, all the energy has really been on the pandemic, and it's taken an enormous amount of work on a lot of people just to try and handle it. So I wish I was at a point where I could talk about new and exciting projects, but for now, the idea is to keep everybody safe, help our clients as much as we can, keep the firm together, you know, and so that's really it.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you're right in a way. That's a, might've been a better question. I think, you know, the point of this project in part is a kind of as an archival initiative where people will in theory listen to these interviews in years and years from now. And I think it's kind of an interesting snapshot of history to be listening to these. So yeah, I mean, how does one adjust to this? It strikes me that law is one of those fields where face-to-face interactions between both lawyers and clients, but lawyers and their colleagues are still really important.
They are very important. I mean, we get a lot of ideas, a lot of energy from each other. And so we've had to, you know, resort to, like everybody else, Zoom meetings and Zoom practice group meetings and meetings, virtual meetings with clients, but it's not the same. And we are trying to assess long-term, you know, what will the impact be? And, you know, we're concerned about, you know, the mental health of people with people working in isolation. So we're trying to reach out to our colleagues. We're trying to make sure everybody's staying connected. To this point, we are staying about as busy as we typically do. So we've been in this for going on 4 months, and we're tracking about the same activity level as we did last year. So that part is good. It's just we're not very confident looking forward. I just, you know, if this goes on for another 6 months or 12 months, I just don't know what the long-term impacts are going to be. So we're trying to stay on top of it. But as I say, there's no playbook for this.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. This has been really fascinating, actually.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon.